I feel like I need one. He said we could get our tissues ready. it's an honor to be invited here again. And I appreciate all the words, that have been shared. Beam me up, Scotty. And they mean a lot. And as we may have said, I think we said earlier, what's even better than that is just the face-to-face. And at least for me, the hugs. And put our arms around each other and give each other a good hug. And I look forward to times when saints drop by the house or we get out somewhere where there is some saints you can fellowship with and enjoy the things of God together. And we look forward to the next time, whenever and wherever that may be. And there's so many people on the planet, the saints everywhere, scattered all over the place, that we haven't even been able to put our arms around yet. Met shaking hands is nice business, but isn't it wonderful to hold the family in your hands and your arms? And who knows? Those of us, is our third time here, and who knows? We may not meet here next year because we might meet a little sooner and meet our Lord and all the saints, and what a day that'll be. And I told you earlier that I remember that in my young days that the coming of the Lord was something that was scary. And the judgment seat of Christ was something that was dreaded. And I remember hearing people talk, and they were afraid of that day. And it's because they don't know the Father. And they don't know the Son. Paul, he had great expectation. And there was a day that was in the sight that he kept looking for. And he kept looking for that day when he would appear with Christ and all things would be made right. The word bema in the concordance translated deus, it's translated in the King James and probably many other versions as the judgment seat. And it's sad because Christianity has this obsession with punishment. And by translating it judgment seat, it pulls up all these things in our mind. And that word bema just simply means rostrum or platform. In fact, that Greek word was used for the old Olympic stage where when you run the race, you got the wreath. It wasn't a place of punishment. It wasn't a place of being on trial. It was a glorious place. It's funny that just at this time, we have athletes over in England who are standing on the platform. And what a time. And Paul looked forward to that day. First of all, just real quickly, what this bema or this platform or this dais is not. It's not a tribunal. It's not a courtroom. It's not a legal proceeding. It's not a punishment from an angry deity. We remember that justification frees us from condemnation. It's not a place where evil for evil is rendered. It doesn't operate on the basis of a Mosaic law that says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Instead, it's a place where grace reigns. Something else that this day isn't, it's not the movie of your life. I had this impression of the judgment seat of Christ as a place where the movie of your life is going to run. And the rest of the saints are going to sit there and they're going to watch everything you ever did.
And your mother's in the front row.
And mom's in the front row. Now I'm going to tell you real quickly. First of all, this Bema is the place where all that goes away. Not where it's all reviewed and put on a movie screen. It's the opposite of that, you know? But you just think about that, you know? You have friends and relatives that take vacations, right? And they want to come home and show you the pictures, you know? And about an hour later, you're going, oh, yeah. You know, okay. You know, and we're talking about a few snapshots from a few days, right? And somehow we're going to watch each other's life. In fact, just the people in this room, think about it. If we just watched everybody's moviness, we're going to take up more than the millennium. Really, start counting. You know? Oh my, what the ridiculous idea of that. And of course, you know, my view of it, you know, and then he's going to freeze the frame. You know? See? Yeah? Oh, my. See? Yeah, what do you got to say about that? Now, and the thing is, that this is not what the Bema is about. And before we even talk about what the Bema is, there are two verses. You don't have to go there for time's sake, but you know the passages. And if not, Romans 14:10 says that it is the Bema, the dais of God. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:10 it says it's the dais of Christ. So we ask, whose platform is this that you and I are going to go to? Well, it's the Father's and the Son's. It's the Father's platform, and this platform has the authority, and the administration of this platform has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I say? Sign me up. I want to go to that place. I want to go to the place where my dad is. And if he's in charge of this place, I want to be there. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is there, sign me up. You know, of course, not like a place we're going to sign up to go, but you know what I'm saying? That's where I want to be. I think about David. And in the Old Testament, wonderful passage in 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. And David's given a choice whether men will judge him or God will judge him. And he was given a choice. You know what choice David made? I'll read it to you. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord. For truly great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hands of men. You know what? I would have never said that in my younger days. If I'd have been given a choice of saying, even somebody who I know that loved me, my mom or my dad, say, I'm going to let your mom or your dad judge you or God. I'm going to take mom or dad. Yeah. You know? Or if I'm going to say, well, we're going to let the preacher judge you or God. I'm going to take the preacher. You know? Almost anybody except God. Oh, no. Don't want to have to face him. David, way back under the old covenant and the law, said, no, don't let me fall into the hands of the judgment of men. Let God judge me, for he is great in mercy. Oh, my. What would he have said under grace? You know? I'll tell you what. Men are not capable of just judgment. They are not capable. Men will hurt you. Not always on purpose either. It's just our lack of ability, lack of wisdom, lack of experience, lack of understanding. And if God's going to be the judge, that's where we want to be. And it's not till you really see who Father is that all of a sudden, let me tell you what, my father would correct me. My father would I would have to appear before my father, and I was never, you know what? I loved my father. He loved me. And when we understand who our Father is, that's who we want to be our judge. And then who's administering this though? It's the Bema of Christ, man. We're going to stand before the one who loved us and gave himself for us. What kind of bad deal is that? Sign me up. You know, if someone loves you and died for you, oh, what a place. Not only that, I mean, we know Romans. Go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. We know the passage, what it says. In fact, I think Martin or someone read it earlier today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. If you know the Father and you know the Son, this is a wonderful day. 8:33. Who will be indicting God's chosen? Who's going to indict us? Who's going to bring us into legal proceedings? Who? God, the justifier? Who is the condemner? Christ Jesus, the one dying, yea, rather being roused, who is also at God's right hand, who is pleading also for our sakes. This is the platform of the Father and the Son who's on our side. They're for us. Do you know how many times in the Scriptures says that God is for us? He's on our side. And more than that, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are members of His body. It's the head of our body that we will be there before. And I want to tell you what, this is a wonderful thing, because this means that our case, if we want to call it that, what happens at this day will not be decided by men. This day will not be decided prematurely. And Paul looked forward to that. Paul had a lot that went wrong in his life. And he had a lot of betrayal. And he had a lot of difficulties. And he looked forward to a day when it all got squared away. Now, let's tell you as briefly as possible what this day is. Well, it's a day of fire. And I say, sign me up and bring it on. Because if the Father's doing, and the Son are in charge of the fire, then I'm looking forward to it. Listen, there, and you know what's going to burn? Not one thing of value will be burned. Not one single thing of value will be burned at this fire. And all the junk will get burned. If you're like me, the longer I've went in my walk with the Lord, the more figuratively I have been burning as I've gone. I said, oh man, I can't believe I believe this. And I burned it up. You know what I'm saying? I let it go. Many of you know, out of a heart of love for God and a desire to walk with God, you know, I've been many places in my life. I started a church that I pastored for 15 years, and I burned it down. It went in, not literally.
How do we know?
And let me tell you something. And when we get there, you know, listen. At those Olympic platforms, when it's time for the rewards, they're not showing movies of all the people who were in the race, who were stumbling and falling and all that stuff. You know what would be a wonderful thing? Now, NBC might show it all. They might rerun all that stuff. But you know what would be the most wonderful thing? If somebody had burned that footage where you fell. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about all the failures, all the mistakes, all the wastedness, all the emptiness getting burned up. All the junk. That, hey, sign me up. I want all that burned away. It's one of the most wonderful. This is a glorious fire. You know, go with me to Philippians chapter 3. And like I said, we all make this walk in our own. We all make this figuratively happen in our own lives as the superior knowledge of the Father and the superior knowledge of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, becomes clearer and clearer, and we have the realization of it. We begin this process in our minds and hearts already. Paul says in this passage that he looks back over all that, all those years, and he looks back. In fact, by the time you get to Philippians, he even looks back. And he says, you know, when compared to the superior knowledge of Him, I count it all but refuge. Is stuff going to burn up when Paul stands? Absolutely. And Paul's already let it go. He's going to say, yeah, let it go. Oh, it'll be a wonderful day when these are gone. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. But to be sure, I am also deeming all to be forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have forfeited all and am deeming it to be refuge, dung, as King James says, that I should be gaining Christ and may be found in Him. Oh my. Not only is it a glorious fire that gets rid of all the blemish, gets rid of all the junk, gets rid of all the stupid stuff and all the wasted stuff. It's gone. But it's also a day of overwhelming compensation. There's going to be a day when all debts are settled. All wrongs are going to be righted. All injuries compensated. Every hurt you've ever had is going to be compensated. Every loss you've ever had is going to be compensated. It's the day. You know, this life isn't fair. We say, well, that's not fair. How it happened here is not fair. This isn't fair. That's not fair. Father knows it's not. And you know, when you ever realize that all the injustice and all the unfairness of this life, all the misfortune, all the evil, all the heartache in this life, we are going to have an overabounding compensation for that. A greater weight of value that lasts for the ages, for that. It'll make us willing to go through the trials and difficulties here. And you know, when someone injures us and hurts us and says things about us and judges us and cheats us and does us wrong and steals from us and all these things, we're able to say, wow, I don't have to try to get it back. I don't have to try to be mean to you. You were mean to me. I'm going to be mean to you. You were mean to me. Oh, Father's going to make it up for me. You stole from me. I don't mean you. You know what I'm saying? But someone steals from you. You don't have to say, oh, man, I'm going to figure a way to get it back. I said, Father's going to get it back. Father's going to make it up. You understand what we're saying? this is the time when things become fair.
Actually, they don't become fair because they're overabounding and compared to the loss, you know? You know? You lost $100, as it were, and you get a million. Oh, man. When you realize this, it changes. When you realize the Father, when you realize the Son, when you realize that injury, when you realize all the books are going to be settled and there's going to be a repayment. And all your labor in the Lord. A key word involved in what's going to happen that we're going to be rewarded for is endurance, is the key word. We don't have a time to look at all the passages, but endurance. Endurance of hardship and troubles. As we walk through this life and as we are His ambassadors here. And I want to tell you something. It takes good and evil. Both are essential for our preparation in Father's training for our purpose after the Bema. We have a purpose. God is training us. God knows exactly what every one of us needs to be trained. You know, we take math for granted now. But you know why? You know, because we were in the bedrooms some nights when we were just 8 and 9 and 10 doing homework and doing math, and it felt unfair, and it felt like torture, and it felt like pain. Amen. Didn't it? It was awful. Oh, thank you for agreeing with me. And it was tough, but you know what? It was training for a reason. That we were going to need one day. Do you realize that things don't happen to you by accident? We do know that, don't we? We do remember that. It's not that God's, you know, sometimes we just say, well, God allows. God doesn't allow anything, you know? You know, we sort of make a progression in our life, you know? Stuff's just happening and, you know, God's trying to figure it out, and then after a while He's sort of allowing things to happen, and then we realize all of a sudden, you know what? He's the God of the universe. He's actually sending it all, you know? And we say, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? We realize it's all coming from Him. Why? Because He's smart. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's training us. He's preparing us. He's educating us. He's toughing and preparing us because we got a big role to play. And every bit of that He's going to repay us for. I want to tell you this. Yeah. Are you being smart with me? No. Oh, and I want to tell you this. You know, there's a movie. What is that movie? I like time movies, you know. It's Frequency. And I like that movie, Frequency. And in one of the scenes where they're back in time, he says to him, Yahoo. Just remember Yahoo. Yeah. That's what he says, right? Just remember Yahoo. And then when you're up further in time, I don't know what the guy's got, like a Mercedes, and it says on the license plate, Yahoo, you know. He remembered Yahoo, you know. And when Yahoo come, he got some stock, you know. Wouldn't it have been neat? What's that guy, Facebook guy, Mark, you know, what's his name? Yeah. Wouldn't it have been neat? I don't know if you saw the movie, you know, about, you know, I guess some of it's make-believe and stuff, but about his life and how he started. Wouldn't it have been neat to go back in time and give him some money to help him get that thing going, you know? I mean, that one guy, what was it? Just $2,000 or $3,000. You know, he just invested. I said, oh man, I could part with a couple $1,000s. That'd be cool. You know? It's just about being in the right place in the right time, isn't it? You know? And goal. Jeez. What happened to goal in the last few years? I mean, I kept hearing people say, you know, what was gonna happen? You say, well, who knows? It seems speculative, you know. And now, you know, there's a bunch of people telling me to buy gold. Of course, you gotta have something to buy it with, you know. You know, and now it's like, whew, they made a lot. They're just, you know, made a lot of money. Well, if they sell it, they will. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's the right place at the right time. You listen, we're at the right place at the right time. You can buy eternal glory cheap. It's cheap. All you got to do is suffer. It's cheap. You know what I'm saying? It's cheap. The stock is cheap.
The stock of the celestials is cheap. And the weight of the glory, the weight of the glory is so exceedingly more of all that we suffer and endure and injustice and wrong and hardship. Every bit of that is so much more that you can't even compare it. We're at the right place at the right time. And if we can see that, it'll change everything. Somebody's mean to us. Somebody's wrong. We suffer. It's hard. It's everything. And you know what? It changes your attitude about everybody and everything that's happening. Oh, Father's going to make it all right. And it's going to be glorious. Father is qualifying us using evil. You should read the passage. Let me give you a couple passages real quick. Just write them down. Read them on the way home to your destination or whatever. 2 Timothy 2:12. We're going to be divinely compensated, especially those who labor in the Word. 1 Timothy 5:18. Sign me up. This life is tough anyway. Sign me up for overwhelming compensation. Two other points, and I'll just have to mention them. It's a day of display. A day of display where God's going to show off His handiwork. He's going to show us without spot and wrinkle. He's going to put us on display. What a glorious thing this is. The manifestations of the sons of God. Oh, so many verses that we could have talked about. The day of glory. In fact, Nock, I found this wonderful. You know, I began to see these truths a few years ago, and then when I read through the problem of evil and got to the back about the judgments of God and those chapters on the dais, oh my, are those glorious chapters. And one of the things Nock says is he says that the dais is the grand celestial inauguration. Sign me up! That's what we want. You know, he says it is the day of our deliverance from the infirmities of the flesh. Wow. And our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be carrying it out. Here's what we learn real quick. Here's what we learn. We learn from the dais. Number one, we learn to avoid premature judgment. Don't pass judgment. It's not time for judgment to be passed. Okay? We're not qualified and it's way too early. Number two, don't seek revenge for your injuries. Don't worry about your reputation. Don't worry about your honor. Don't worry about your rights. Don't worry about what's fair. Because God is the great compensator. And the greater the injustice, the greater the compensation. Sign me up. And until then, our response to everyone around us gets to be not how am I going to get back with you, not how am I going to get the things squared away, not how am I going to get ahead, but our response to everyone in our lives, whether it be those that are close to us or those we occasionally meet or pass along the way, our response gets to be love and kindness and endurance and grace. And we'll close with Paul's final words from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, if we could go one by one through the room, we would hear stories of heaviness and heartache and things are tough. Someone once said you could ask anybody in the world and say, you could go up to them and say, I've heard about what you've been going through. And they'd start it open up and tell you about it. Because we're all going through it. And who wouldn't like the day when that gets all fixed? All fixed. All their accounts are settled and all the books are closed. And all there is glory. And who gets it? According to Paul, and every man shall have praise or applause of the Lord. Every man. Good job. Every man. How could that be? Well, maybe it's because we're all the workmanship of Christ. Isn't that worth applauding? He's really applauding his work in us. Makes you homesick. Bring it on. And listen to Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12. This is Paul's last epistle, his final words. For which cause I am suffering these things also, but I'm not ashamed. He was suffering as an evildoer. Evil. He's one of the that's what Bush called the terrorists, the evildoers. Well, that's how Paul was being suffered. That's the way they viewed him. Reputation and hurt and pain and suffering these things also, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I am aware of whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what is committed to me for that day. Paul's in a Roman prison and he's almost alone on the planet. All that missionary work, all that great work he did, he can only count five men. He can only count five men. One, two, three, four. Five men. Read 2 Timothy 2. He's been all over almost the world, as it were, all over Asia Minor and everywhere. And he set up all these grand churches, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians. And where are they? And he's in prison and he can count five men who've remained faithful. And then he says in the book, and it's going to get worse. And the end's going to get worse. And more apostasy's coming, and they're going to leave my message. We have these great grandeur dreams that Christianity is this wonderful, wonderful thing of God, and it's His enemy. It deceives people. It makes a mockery of Him. Christianity lies about my Father and makes fun of Him. And Paul could only count five faithful men after all those years of ministry. And he said, but there in that prison cell, he looks out, he said, man, I got one day I'm looking for. And it's all going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it, folks. It's going to be worth all that we go through. We just keep looking. We're in the right place at the right time. Sign me up. I'm just saying that figuratively. You know, he signed us up. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Bring it on. Bring it on. We look forward to that glorious day. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you what a good God you are. In the face of all the abuse and the lies against you, we thank you that you granted a revelation that we could see how good you are. Oh, we thank you for that. Help us to live these truths, not seeking revenge and seeking to retaliate evil for evil, but help us, Father, just to be faithful day in and day out, doing all those basic things that you give us and that you bring into our life, knowing that every one of those are training tools. You're preparing us that we might not grumble and complain and murmur at your hand, but instead realizing, Father, that we're receiving stock of immeasurable value. Father, help us to love one another, love those around us. More importantly, Father, help us to love you. We want to love you. And we thank you for all that you've given us in Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Okay.